talk. What I'm interested in is the Textus Receptus was put together by Erasmus, and then there were various other edits to it. But in terms of the documents he used, what confidence can we have that the documents that he used are indeed the correct documents, as opposed to a random choice of what was available at the time?
Interesting fact that although Erasmus only had a relatively small number of manuscripts to use when he gathered the Textus Receptus, many more manuscripts have been discovered since that day. There are some fragments or portions, but when you actually compare what Erasmus had and what's available today, representative of all that we have to the scripture, which has a history that goes to the Apostolic era, where they ministered and where scriptures were copied and so forth. There is many translations today of a number of manuscripts of the Erasmus Textus Receptus, and wonderfully blessed. One thing that weighs heavily with me personally is the way in which God has, in such a significant way, blessed, for example, the Authorized Version for 400 years around the English-speaking world, which of course is based upon this
subject. Is it true that the Book of Revelation was back-translated from the Latin Vulgate into the into Greek and then translated from there into English?
Definitive answer on that question. That may have been the case initially, but there's strong manuscript support, of course, for the
accuracy of the...
Okay, I don't think there's any question regarding... No, there are a number of editions of the Textus, and that is where the society seeks to take the stand.
Verse 37 of Acts chapter 8 that is missing in such translations. It goes to show the gravity of having missing texts in the Bible. Is there any effort being made to make sure that everyone or Christians worldwide come to realize this fact, and at least we have a unified Bible translation that we use? Because I have friends that their church is mainly NIV, and then when I try to point this out, they say it's the same, it doesn't matter. But I never knew of this verse 37 until you said the gravity of what it means if it's missing.
Hardy publishes a textual key to the New Testament, and this book goes through the whole of the New Testament, pointing passages that call into question bedtime reading. But it's a very concerning, informing Christians of testing. But I had just mentioned earlier, every word of God is pure. It's a serious matter to detract from the word of God or add to it. So, as you say, it's a...
Explain why you're called the Trinitarian Bible Society.
Yep. Now, going back to 1800 and work in providing translations, you would realise that there was some involved in that society, possible to resolve the differences. That's where we took our stand then. Of course, that's the booklets. Subject of the Holy Trinity, which you may...
And are you aware of the current controversy concerning the claimed subordination of Anglican evangelicals today? Nutshell for everybody.
That's the best way to read that, but subject. And the
text piece on text,
what was it? What Escott and Hort, wasn't it, that were largely... They vilified, really, the received. See this in the modern-day ESV. I'm reading Matthew chapter 1. The genealogy of the Lord Jesus. That's, instead of naming the Asa, it says Asaph. Well, Asaph wasn't the king, a singer. A bit further on, it speaks of with Ammon. The critic says Amos. Well, Amos, of course, was a prophet, not a king. So it's an obvious contradiction and a mistake in the critical text. Now, the NIV, interestingly, realizing it was obviously wrong in the critical text, they corrected it in their work of translating, certainly, in the NIV, but the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. So, the equal child could soon see that there's something... So, I really find it hard to understand why, like Westcott and Hort, determined to move away from the text of Scripture and introduce something that was... But it's been a cause of great division amongst the church is the word of God ever since that time.
He had a very interesting talk by Bill Cooper about whether Sinaiticus was actually a forgery. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I've only just started to read his book, funny enough, and I've been fascinated by what I've been reading. And some quite clear evidence that it was a direct forgery. I mean, most people believe that documents that we use, the Vatican text and the Sinai text, are ancient documents. But he brings forward, right. But was simply deliberately corrupted.
In order to undermine.
As we well know, as we've been saying, that the Reformation took place because the word of God central and was preached and believed. And again, about the word of God itself. Yeah, I haven't finished it yet, but I've been reading
it.
Yes,
God.
Verse 37 of chapter 8. Does it correspond with Romans 10, 9 and 10? And if a cobbler...
Can we just read it?
But you have things like the Jehovah's Witness who have a totally different Bible. You have Mormons who claim to be Christians too. But what I'm trying to say now is that those of us is missing in NIV. And if this is in NIV, that's Romans, does that not allow a true seeker to get the basic truth of salvation, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart, then you get saved?
Yeah, you're making a valid point where there may be a truth missing of certain verses that most modern versions. That's not, of course, the only verse that teaches the
truth. Right, I'm going to raise that. The Bible says our Lord Jesus Christ did so many things that if they were to record all, it would not take it. The whole world would not take it. There was a major controversy in the time of Paul. They tried to add the Jewish traditions into the new faith that Jesus had now presented. And so, should I be circumcised or should I not be circumcised? Should I follow the law of Moses? And this was the raging controversy we see throughout the whole of the New Testament. And you see Paul addressing it at different times, you see Peter addressing it. But then, in conclusion, Paul made two statements. He says two things are very important in Galatians. One, a new birth. Two, are you living by faith in Christ? Now is that, how do we balance issues that have come to become so large and definitely are important, and at the same time maintaining the simplicity of the gospel for the ordinary man to get saved and live a holy life? How do we maintain a balance without going over the edge in one way or the other way?
Well, yes, I think new translations, especially, they are
serious. Can you ask you about that, as you have? Many will say, look, it's time that we had a modern version for modern times.
Where Jesus said to Peter,
my son listens in the past. Overcomplicating it.
Yeah. No, my first line is to
the question is, because they're saying that the Bible's been changed many times, how do you know you've got the correct version?
Traditional text of scripture which hasn't been changed, standard Bible, and I'm not sure then it's coming back to the
question.
Our God has graciously preserved. Are we now going to say that, it would be right to say that I'd by the Holy Spirit?
We have to be very careful. Hebrew and Greek scriptures obviously guided by the Lord in their work and given.
In that position, it's a heresy because actually undermine the word of God writers after the Bible writing. There we are, but that's where we have to take a hand on the left, don't we? That's the trouble. It's
sad that you're contending against people who are using the King James,
yeah.
But that's the way it is. Thank you very much. Fascinating.